Hello, everyone, and welcome to an emergency episode of Dallas Hoops Fancast. I'm your host, Sydney, and I'm here with my co-host, Martin.
Hey, guys, I thought you were going to start with hello and welcome to Movie Phone, the way you said it.
No,
E-pod.
I do kind of start it like a really cheesy radio person, I guess. yesterday we did an episode. We thought it was our last episode of season two for the Fancast. But ESPN released the next set of rankings for their top 100 players. Luka is in there, so obviously we have to talk about that. Also, we got real live pictures of the Mavericks. It was glorious.
All I wanted was a video of Porzingis.
Yeah.
We didn't get the video, but we got some pictures.
We got pictures.
Just as good.
And Mavs.com did post like a... It was on their, it was an Instagram story, and it was like a little, what is that? I can't think of what it's called now. But anyway, it was a short little clip of him like dunking the ball or something. So anyway, we're also going to talk about that. And Dirk finally got a street named after him. That went through, so I thought we could go into that and kind of reminisce a little bit. But first, let's do the intro. This is important.
Oh, yeah. Can't forget the intro, even though they just listened last night.
No, this
I think
important.
On an E-pod, we can skip the intro.
It's all important. Right. Okay. You can follow the show on Twitter at Dallas Hoops Cast. You can follow me on Twitter at _ Sydney Myers. Martin is not on Twitter, although he's been thinking about joining Tinder.
No, so I have not. We got to stop that joke.
If you had to pick between Marty joining Twitter or Tinder, which one would you prefer? And
trust me, it's Twitter.
And if he joins Twitter, what should be his handle? I think we should let people vote on that.
All right, yeah. I'll do that.
Big Daddy 69.
No, Sydney, you got to edit that out, okay?
What? What's wrong with that?
We're not going with that.
Anyways, thank you so much for listening. We had a really great season so far. I'm glad we get to do this emergency pod because it's fun stuff to talk about. Let's get into it. First of all, ESPN's top 100. So if you didn't listen to yesterday's pod, go ahead and listen to that because Kristaps Porzingis was in that list. He was 36.
34.
Yeah. And then we go into other surprises and Southwest Division rivals, how many players each one of those teams had. Good episode. Listen to that. But for this one, ESPN released the next crop, which was numbers 11 through 30. And Luka is rated 16th. Marty, just like first reaction when you saw that, what did you think?
Well, my first reaction is I loved it because I thought it was really high.
Yeah.
A really good number for him to be at. I didn't think much more of it after that until we kind of talked about it earlier. And now I'm looking at some of these names that he's ahead. And it is kind of crazy that he is ahead of some of these guys, but I think it's justified.
Yes.
And we can talk about it.
So some of the just all the players that he's ahead of, starting with 17, Kemba Walker, Karl Anthony Towns, Bradley Beal, Donovan Mitchell, Jimmy Butler, Pascal Siakam, Blake Griffin, Mike Conley, De'Aaron Fox, D'Angelo Russell, Jamal Murray, Trey Young, Tobias Harris, and Devin Booker. I mean, there's some heavy hitters in there.
Yeah, a lot of these, though, like, he's definitely
some
ahead
of
Conley,
Fox, some of them are easy.
Murray.
Even D'Angelo Russell, I think he's made strides, but I'm okay with that. Tobias Harris, Devin Booker.
I'm okay with the Booker just because Booker doesn't contribute at all to wins.
To wins, yeah. At least he hasn't.
He hasn't
thus far.
Yeah. He puts up great numbers, and he's had some... When he's on fire, he's on fire.
But yeah, some of them are obvious. It's like, well, obviously, better than Trey Young. I mean, he won Rookie of the Year, so that's an easy one.
I was surprised they put him ahead of Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
Although I like Luka more than Mitchell, but Mitchell has actually had some success.
Yeah.
Like he's been to the playoffs both years. He really struggled last year's playoffs, but he's been there.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I thought that Mitchell would be higher than him.
I was also surprised. Blake Griffin, I mean, I know he's older and injuries and stuff has kind of slowed him down a little bit, but he's been a solid mm-hmm. player for several years.
And another reason why he's in Detroit.
He's in Detroit. That's what I was about to say.
And when you're in Detroit, it doesn't matter how good you are or not.
Yeah.
You just don't get any attention.
Yeah. Pascal Siakam, I was kind of surprised by that just because so many people are high on him.
Yeah.
But I think it makes sense.
He's even too high to me on this one. Like,
yeah.
I don't. You know, Siakam was a little too high for me. And the biggest problem I have with this list is Mike Conley. Like, 24th in the league. Like, what's...
The 24th best player?
Yeah, and I'm sorry. I can't sell... I would rather have Trae Young. I would rather have Jamal Murray. I would rather have Tobias Harris. I would rather have Devin Booker. I know Devin Booker hasn't won, but...
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about... You know, Mike Conley is that guy that every year he's the most underrated player in the league. And it's like we say that every single year. The reason why he's underrated is because he's just not as good as everybody
maybe
wants him to be.
He's just rated properly.
Yeah, he's rated
and
just
you
fine.
Wish he was better.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know.
A couple that surprised me, like I said, Blake Griffin. Two that really surprised me were Jimmy Butler and Bradley Beal. The fact that Luka is ranked higher than them. Those two really surprised me.
The only thing I have with Jimmy Butler is the reason Jimmy Butler's Jimmy Butler is because of his personality. Like, he's always in the media because of all the crap.
Well, he has a dynamic personality.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, he's stirring up the
problems.
Timberwolves
okay.
and he's always in the media.
Yeah.
And so his name is out there a lot, but when you really look at his numbers, he's a good player. He's an all-star.
Yeah.
But he's not as good as how public he is or how much in the media he is.
I don't know. I think that he is that good because he's a two-way player. He shows up in big moments. He's clutch. There were times in the playoffs where, I mean, just for like not just moments, but games where the Sixers would not have won that game if it wasn't for Butler. They wouldn't be able to score for 10 minutes if it wasn't for Butler. Like, he was that kind of player for them. And he wasn't really for Minnesota. With Chicago, he kind of grew into that. So, but I mean, I think he is that kind of player. He's a big time player. His leadership.
Questionable.
His style is questionable. Yeah. I mean, I think he tries to be a leader, but his leadership style is questionable. But I think he is that great. I was surprised. I mean, I don't know. This might sound bad, but I think Jimmy
don't
Butler.
Don't say what you're about. Now, again, this is a projection.
Yeah, true. Okay,
this is projecting.
When you look at it that way, yes. I can understand that because they're clearly projecting Luka to have the kind of season that we think he can have.
Okay, so... Can Butler average 22-8-6?
Yeah.
Can he? Has he ever done that?
Well, I'd have to look.
No, I don't think I... Here, I got it up, actually. So, his best season was 23.9 points, 6 rebounds, 5.5 assists. So, that was his best season.
Yeah.
23-6-5.
Basically 24 points.
24 points.
But... Very efficient. I mean, he always shoots basically 45%.
His effective
overall.
Field goal percentage is not very good.
Yeah, and that's...
Because his three-point percentage is not very good. And even that year was his best year shooting the three. But that's his best season.
Yeah.
Luka put that up last year, essentially. 22-8-6. Or 21-8-6, I think is a Luka.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's Luka's first year. And... You're telling me he's not going to improve at all?
Yeah, well, and I think that's, like, when you look at it that way, I can understand. Because, you know, we did episodes, I don't remember which one it was, but we looked at players that did what Luka did their rookie year, like LeBron and Kevin Durant and Carmelo. And then when you look at what they did
their second season,
they became LeBron and Kevin Durant and Carmelo. And so he has a potential to do that.
So...
Which would make him better than Jimmy
Butler. Oh, yeah. I mean, LeBron, his second year, averaged 27-7-7.
Yeah, and I think Durant, the same thing. He was
25-6. Yeah, but I don't think if Luka goes in next year averaging 27-7-7, that's kind of what the projection is for him.
Yeah,
so
obviously.
What about number 13?
CJ McCollum. So
how do you feel about that one?
A lot of people were surprised by this one too. CJ McCollum is at 13.
Way too high.
You know, I have less of a problem with that than I do Rudy Gobert at 14.
You think Gobert's
I think he's too high. Now, really? I think Gobert is a great player. Obviously, defensive player of the year. Offensively, I don't think he's quite there, which is why I think he's too high. I think, like, he is probably, outside of Giannis, the best defensive player in the league. But he doesn't bring you a lot in terms of offense, aside from what you get him. Like, you can't just give him the ball and he goes to work in the post, or he shoots, or he, you know, he's the one initiating a pick. Like, he has...
But there's a lot of guys that can do that, and they don't impact the game. I mean, would you say Karl Anthony Towns or Rudy Gobert is better? The automatic response, people are going to say Karl Anthony Towns, but
no,
Gobert actually impacts the game more because of his defense compared to what Towns does offensively. And it's proof by their record.
Like, well, I think, so yes, Towns, he is, I guess you could say, more well-rounded because he has an offensive game, but that still doesn't make him better than Gobert.
Right.
Because he's just not as good. Even though he has offensive game, he's still not very good. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if like that's a good comparison to, but it's just like Gobert is the best defender, but he doesn't bring a lot offensively. I think that puts him maybe in the top 20 or 30, but I think 14 is too high since he's really just, he impacts the game on one side of the ball.
Yes, but the thing is, he's the best in the league at it.
Yeah.
Like, he is the best rim protector. He's tops in rebounding. He's just the best. He's an anchor. And the Jazz are always good on defense. There's no surprise. It's because they have Rudy Gobert back there. So I get what you're saying, that the offensive side isn't there at all. But I think he's so good defensively that I'm okay with where Gobert's. I actually appreciate the fact that he gets the respect for what he does on the defensive end. I mean, would you say Gobert is better or CJ McCollum?
I would say CJ McCollum.
See, I would go with Gobert.
Oh,
you know, because Gobert, look, McCollum is tempting because he's a playmaker. He can score, blah, blah, blah. All those things are great. But Gobert actually contributes to winning basketball. Not saying that McCollum doesn't, but what Gobert does, they have nobody in Utah. Like, last year, it was Gobert.
Well, they had Donovan Mitchell and Derek Favors. I mean, come on.
Yeah, you know, but they're always so good on the defensive end.
So I would say two things to that. First, I'll pose a question. Tyson Chandler, their championship year, some would argue that he was the best,
rim
like
protector.
You said, defensive anchor. Would you have ranked him 14th that year?
No, only because with all due respect to Tyson, he still didn't put up the same statistical category.
So you're
saying
Gobert is on another level?
Yes, because
defensively. Okay.
Gobert also is in like 13 rebounds, 2.5 blocks.
That's true. Okay.
And he's still like 13, 14 points a game. It's not like he's averaging 7 points a game out there. Let me pull him up real quick.
So my second point to that would be, you talked about how Gobert wins games. So we've always had the mindset that, you know, people say defense wins championships, when in reality, it's the ability to score no matter what the defense brings. Like that's why Jordan won. And that's why all these great players won, because they hit that shot. So I would say, if you're going to talk about winning games, based on what we've said in the past, CJ McCollum does that better than Gobert. Gobert gets you to the point where you can win the game,
somebody's got to make the shot.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, McCollum is ranked higher, so it's it makes sense. But,
And that's why Gobert is not number one in the league.
Yeah, true.
But I mean, if you look, last year he averaged 16 points, 13 rebounds, 2.5 blocks, basically. And he led the league in effective field goal percentage. So you're talking about, you know, the best defender, and he's also a really good rim roller. He fits a winning team's offense.
Yeah.
Like, he is Tyson Chandler, but just on steroids. Not actually on steroids, but, you know.
Would you rather have Luka or Rudy Gobert?
Luka. I'm sorry. It just
Luka. So then you think Luka should be ranked higher, or that Gobert should be lower?
Well, I mean, I see what you're saying.
No, and I didn't mean that to prove my point. I was just
asking. I think there's different levels of scorers. There are guys, and Devin Booker, perfect example. Mm-hmm. Even Bradley Beal, to an extent, they can put up points on a bad team. Karl Anthony Towns can do that, but it doesn't contribute to wins. I think Luka, now granted, he hasn't proven that, but I think his points and what he does actually contribute to winning basketball, because he's shooting the right kind of shots and running the right kind of offense.
And he hits them at the right time.
Yes. And that's what, like, obviously the scorers in the league are the best players in the league, but it's the right kind of scorers. It's those that can score those numbers on really, really good teams.
Yeah.
Because that means they're actually contributing to wins.
Like CJ McCollum.
McCollum, but Lillard's really the guy. McCollum's the second guy.
Yeah,
I guess taking the argument aside from Gobert and McCollum, I still think McCollum's too high. Like, I think he's rated too good. I don't know how to say it without it being confusing.
I mean, but who would you put above him? Like, where would you move him? You know, that's the thing.
It's hard,
because on the one hand, you could say, well, I think this guy is too high or low, but you have to do it based on the players that are available.
So if you swapped Bradley Beal and McCollum, you put Bradley Beal on the Blazers, are they better or worse? I want to say they're better.
I mean, I think they're the same. I think they would be the same. You said the Blazers would be better?
Yeah, I think the Blazers would be better.
I think they would be the same. Although maybe fit. I feel like Beal maybe fits better with Lillard.
And that could be a lot what holds Lillard back. And in the playoffs, Lillard is much better because, not Lillard, McCollum is much better because Lillard kind of gets taken out. I know he had that great series against Oklahoma City.
All of them, except for the Warriors.
Really, after the Oklahoma City shot from, you know, Maine.
Outside.
After that shot, he really stumbled.
Yeah. Well,
like, went into a deep slump.
The Golden State series, the whole team just was not good.
And the Denver series was really won by McCollum.
Yeah.
So maybe McCollum is better than I imagined. I just thought it was really high, but, you know.
I thought it was high too, but like I said, you have to go by what's available. Well, like normally, like say Kevin Durant's fully healthy, then he's up here, which means McCollum is now 14th, and Klay Thompson is probably above here, so McCollum's now 15th. I mean, that makes more sense to me.
So there's a common or a debate between Ben Simmons and Luka.
Yeah.
Where do you rank with this?
Well, obviously, I think Luka is better.
Why do you think Luka is better than Ben Simmons?
Because he can score in so many ways that Ben Simmons can't.
But here's the
okay.
Ben Simmons' defense—it's like Garnett's defense. That's why Garnett's better than Dirk.
Yeah. So I get that. I understand Ben Simmons' defense, but this goes back to the same thing that I was saying about Gobert. The same thing that we say about, since you brought up Garnett versus Dirk, is that yes, defense is great and it gets you very far and it is crucial to winning some games. But in the end, you have to be able to score. You know, when you think about how championships were won, you think about the Jordan over Elo. I mean, that's a classic. But just recently, you think about Ray Allen against the Spurs, Kyrie Irving against the Warriors. You know, the
Dirk against the Heat,
Kawhi Leonard against the Sixers. These are shots that, despite the defense, they made them.
And that's the important thing. Like,
Ben Simmons can't do that.
Yeah. When you get deep in the playoffs, every team's good at defense.
Yeah. That's why they're there. Yeah.
So the teams that advance or the teams that win are the ones that can score that defense.
Yeah.
And so what really wins championships, and you heard it here first, is making shots.
Well, and a perfect example of this is every year, usually in the East, there are some lower seeded teams that surprisingly make the playoffs because they have a strong defense. Like a lot of young teams or just teams that don't have a lot of talent, they hang their hat on defense because they know they can't score.
Mm-hmm.
So because they're so good at defense, they manage to make the playoffs. But because they can't score, they don't get very far.
Yeah. So I would say I agree. I think Ben Simmons is a little too highly ranked here.
I don't know if he's too high. I put Luka above him, but again, you know, it's like we said the other night, it's like, because he's so young, you don't really know what he's going to do. I assume he's going to do this. They obviously assume it too.
Well, we know what he is now. Yeah. If he gets a respectable jump shot, his game completely changes.
Who, Ben Simmons? Yeah. Yeah.
But
have you seen those videos of him in the open gym with no one else there? It looks
like he's breaking his arm as he shoots.
Yeah, but he made it.
It doesn't matter. Like, all of these guys...
Yeah.
When they were in high school, they were the man. They were pulling up from 35 feet.
Dunking over everybody.
That's what they can make any shot anytime. In the open gym, Shaq would beat us in a shooting competition.
Shaq makes threes in an open gym.
Exactly. Yeah. So in the game is when it matters. And I'm sorry, I until I see it, I don't
think he's going to do it. Who knows? Maybe he has worked on it and he'll be respectable. I think
he's got to change his form. It's so bad. I can't believe personal trainers and coaches, nobody says, hey, I'm really happy you're working on your shot, but it's never going to get better if you twist your arm all the way around before you shoot it.
Who has a worse form?
Kid Gilchrist.
Is it Kid Gilchrist? Lonzo Ball, Ben Simmons, or Chuck Hayes?
And Sean Marion.
I'm
going to go with...
you remember that?
I'm going to go with Kid Gilchrist. Because Gilchrist, his elbow literally goes in. Yeah. And then I can't even do it, you know?
It's like somebody said... I think Kid Gilchrist is left-handed and he just doesn't know it.
Yes, because he's trying to get it over
and
there.
And then he like twists it around. It's like, dude, why don't you just shoot with your left?
Chuck Hayes has an okay form. He just has that hesitation. Yeah. Like he's afraid to let the ball go. Like he's never going to get it back.
Like Markelle Fultz. Although, did you see the video of Markelle Fultz shooting jumpers?
In
an open gym.
And he made them?
He did.
Oh my God.
But his form was different. It was kind of like Steph... That sort of just like flowing it out of your chest kind of thing, except uglier. Like I think Steph...
He's actually shooting it from his chest.
Yeah, whereas Steph kind of has the same sort of follow through, but it's just like one motion. His is kind of like that, but it's, I don't know, it's uglier.
Well, there's Steph changed, like a lot of kids try to shoot like Steph, but they all shoot from the chest and just kind of push it out.
Yeah.
But Steph goes up with it. Everybody else goes kind of forward.
Yeah.
And, you know, good for him, I'm sure. I mean, like I said, Shaq in an open gym can make threes.
Anyways, so, Luka's at 16.
I like it, obviously, because I'm a Luka homer, and I'm in love with the 21-year-old man. Okay. 20-year-old man. But, you know, I think he's going to eventually be the best player in the league. Anyways, again, that's Homerville talking, but I like it.
He has the potential. Mm-hmm. So they have... Luka at 16 and Porzingis at 34. I'm trying to think. Let me look at the other.
Well, and the Celtics have Walker at 17, Tatum at 1, Brown at 2.
Okay, I'm looking at other division right. So Russell Westbrook is at 12. I think that's it out of the Southwest Division. Yeah, that's it from the Southwest Division. So that stays.
With James Harden.
Yeah, he's not here yet.
Yeah.
He's probably in the top five. So, so speaking of Luka and Porzingis, so any more thoughts on the rankings?
No, we're good. Yeah, let's move on.
Speaking of Luka and Porzingis, we finally got some real live action pictures of them playing
Porzingis
basketball. Yeah, and it was interesting. So I was going through all these pictures. Porzingis posted some on Instagram, Luka posted some, Mavs.com posted some, I'm sure every player did. And it was crazy. Like I'm looking at them and all of a sudden it just hit me like, oh my God, the Mavericks got Kristaps Porzingis. Like I knew this, obviously they've had him for a while now, but it just...
We've forgotten how good the dude is.
Yeah, it was like I just realized it again. Like, oh my God, the Mavs have Kristaps Porzingis. And, you know, we were talking earlier, like I remember it was maybe a year ago or something, and we were talking about you know, trades that we would want them to do. This was long before we even heard these rumors, but I was like, it just feels right that Porzingis will eventually be a Maverick. Mm-hmm. Because it's just, the universe wouldn't be balanced unless he was here. Because at the time...
It's a little dramatic, but...
No,
yeah,
it's true.
Oh, okay. I didn't know
He has brought balance to the force, okay? Because at the time they had Dirk, and it was just like, he's the next Dirk.
Yeah.
But for real. Not like, you know, Bargnani and that other white
Dragon
dude.
Dragonbender. White dude.
He played for the Rockets and the Pelicans. Ryan Anderson.
Oh, don't forget about... the famous number two pick. Oh man, that was picked right before Carmelo.
Darko Milicic?
Yes, Darko was supposed to be the next Dirk.
But Porzingis is like the real next Dirk. And so I was like, it just makes sense that he would be here. And then when they got Luka, I was like, oh my God, you have to get Porzingis. And I'm so happy.
Yeah,
it happened. And so now it looks like training camp hasn't started yet, but I guess they just all got together and started playing, and it's awesome.
The one picture that I can't
get your eyes off of.
Give me a minute. Is the one where Porzingis is shooting a jump shot, and he shoots so high. Like usually guards jump really high up in the air when they, like Monte.
Oh yeah,
his like, feet would be at your face. Yeah. You know, when he's shooting a jumper. And Porzingis is jumping really, really high. And Powell is trying to get a hand in his face.
But it's
Powell
not
is completely stretched out. And Porzingis' eyes are higher than
Powell's hand is at like Porzingis' shoulder.
It just made me think about a pick and pop. You know, it's going to be so hard to defend because he jumps so high and he's such a good shooter. Like, you're not going to be able to bother his shot.
Yeah. And so his form
is perfect. It's beautiful. Now
his body is not straight. It has just a little bit of a relaxed curve to it. I'm examining this way too much.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's just his form is perfect. And you can tell he's put on a lot of muscle. I said this in the last episode. All I care about is the legs. But he does overall look bigger.
He just looks better. Yeah. And the only concern with the high jump shot is landing on feet.
Yeah.
And let's hope we don't have a Zaza. You know, incident where he does, or Bruce Bowen.
Bruce Bowen, is
right. But I think players now kind of all are in it together.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't do that. But yeah, they look good. And he just looks like, Luka looks strong. And Luka looks super skinny.
So explain your explanation, or give your explanation
the belly,
how you know that Luka is skinnier.
Because when he's bent over, his stomach goes in.
Okay.
When you're fat, like me, when you sit down, your stomach goes out.
Martin, you are not fat. That's all muscle, okay? And love.
You wish, yeah. And beer.
Wow. Anyways, so yeah, you can tell that Luka, I mean, he's still a big dude.
He's just a big dude. He has that body type. Yeah.
Kind of like you know, really muscular.
No, like LeBron.
With biceps.
LeBron was a grown man.
When he was 16.
Yeah. Probably when he was born. He was probably born with a six pack.
He just came out, yeah.
Yeah, he was just born as a man with a headband on.
And still no hair.
No, did you see? He's really proud. He's got his hair back.
Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah. I'm happy for him. But yeah, so I think Luka, he's never going to be a skinny guy.
No, he's just a big dude.
Yeah, he's just built as a big guy. But now it's muscle. Like you can tell it's not just a bunch of fat.
But he's
around.
A legit 6'7".
Yeah.
He's strong. And I think
he's like a Ben Simmons or a Magic Johnson. Jason Kidd, I mean, obviously taller, but just he's got a big body.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was exciting to see. And obviously in those same pictures, Dwight Powell, he looked great. Jalen Brunson was there. A lot of the team guys said that Jalen Brunson had the best summer. I don't know what that means. I don't know if like maybe he looks good or they can tell he's worked on the right things. I don't know.
In my opinion, the perfect transition would be Jalen turns into JJ. Like he's as effective as JJ. In big games, steps up. He's done that in his college career, at least. And if he can kind of step into that JJ role as JJ moves on, I think that'd be perfect for him. But he might want to be a starting point guard somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know. JJ was also there, too, speaking of.
Mm-hmm. And he was playing normal basketball, so that's good to see.
He looked like he was
ready to go,
it, yeah. So that was pretty good. Like you said, I really want to see a video, but we might not see that. The Mavericks free open scrimmage, they do this every year. It's on October 4th?
Yeah, I think it's October 4th. Yeah.
The doors open at 11:30, which I thought was kind of early, since usually isn't it in the evening or the late afternoon? Yeah. So I don't know if it's earlier. But definitely, there's probably going to be a lot of people there, but maybe not if it's during the day. But I, you know, we might go. I guess it depends on if that's during the week, then it might be kind of tough. But anyways, open practice, that'll be cool. But really, just seeing them for the first time playing is going to be awesome. Lastly, the thing I wanted to close with, Dirk finally got, they passed.
I feel like we need some kind of music as we talk about this.
Some, what's the word?
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Not that kind of music, like remembering. Mm-hmm. So they finally passed the bill or the ordinance or whatever it was to get Nowitzki Way finalized. So, and it's just, I thought it was going to be the whole street. It's actually just it's like that section.
Yeah. It's just a block. I think it's the block leading up to the American Airlines Center.
Which, when you think about it, when you're getting directions or if you're like an Uber driver,
Road just changed automatically.
I know. It's going to be so.
But that happens all the time anyways.
In Dallas, especially. Yeah. So I thought that was kind of cool. Jason Terry was there. He's the new, assistant GM for the Texas Legends?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was there to, you know, get it all done. Everyone told stories about Dirk. I mean, there's nothing really to say. This is just one step closer to getting the statue, which I'm kind of excited about. But
at one point, though, it's going to be too much. Like, we got the logo on the court.
Yeah. We got
now we got the street name. What else? And now his if we do jersey, the statue.
His jersey will probably be retired this season, I guess.
It better be like, yeah. Yeah. You should have a jersey ceremony every game.
And then the statue. But, you know, it's all, like, the statue was a given. Mm-hmm. And then the street was like, and then obviously the jersey, that's a given. The street was like, oh, that's cool. But then the court, it was like, oh, okay, we're going all out here.
To me, the court one is awesome.
Yeah.
And if that's the way the court's going to be from now on, which I assume it would be every year, that's kind of crazy, like, it's to cool. have that out there.
You know, what sucks, though, is that the Raptors are doing the same thing with Kawhi's logo thing.
Who cares?
I know, and it's like...
It takes away from the uniqueness.
Yeah, and also Kawhi doesn't deserve... I mean, I get it. He won their first championship. I mean, that's all of that is
but
great.
Come on.
But
like,
Dirk...
You're going to forget about it in 5 years, you know?
Anyways, so that was cool. I don't know. It's going to be weird, like, watching the Mavericks without Dirk.
Well, the good thing is we're not...
Party.
That was
so beautiful.
We got... Dirk 2.0 and Porzingis out there.
Party.
Okay, let's not cry about it. All right, it's time to end this.
I think it's better that they're good. If he was just not playing and they sucked, it would really hurt.
Oh, if he just retired and we didn't have Luka and Porzingis, we are going out there with Dennis Smith.
Yeah. Oh my God. So, anyways, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's a perfect transition. I'm excited about it. It's cool to see the pictures. And the Mavs have a bright future, and it's a great way to stay in shape. But anyway, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you follow us again on Twitter at Dallas Hoopscast. Send us your messages. What do you think about the rankings? Whether it's Luka and Porzingis or just any of them, you know, we talked about McCollum and Rudy Gobert. Do you think those guys are too high? Share your thoughts. You can follow me on Twitter at _ Sydney Myers. I think that's it. We'll, season 3 of the fan cast will officially start next Tuesday, and, we'll see you guys then. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Gobert had 14 win shares.
14.
Year.
Where does that rank in the league?
I don't know.
Okay.
I just know it's a lot.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Nugget, and I'll log that away. Okay. You're not going to say bye?
No.
Oh, all
right. Gotta move on with my life.
Bye.